Father, we are thankful. We are thankful. We give you praise, Lord Father. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house, to hear you speak to us, to experience the work of transformation that takes place because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Father. All is well with our soul, not because of what we have done, but all because of you. Thank you, Lord, for the hand of grace that bears us up and carries us, O God, step by step into the place called there. We come to that place called there, the place of your promise. And we are blessed greatly because of it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you tonight in this blessed time that God has separated by his grace for us to meet together. We've been talking about the transformation and the change that took place with the people of Israel. And in line to that truth is a transformation that God is bringing to us individually and corporately. And in discussing that subject, I have been driving home one point in the midst of all the other points. One particular point, and that is that change takes place when something dies. How many of you have gotten that point yet? Okay. Let me try to finalize it. Something has to die for change to take place. In fact, the Lord said, except the kernel of wheat dies, it abides alone. It has to die. The one seed has to die so that a harvest takes place. There's no harvest without something first dying. Any change in my life, in your life, is preceded by death. The Lord had to die so that you and I can come alive. We had to die so that he comes alive. You say, how did we die? Well, when the Word of God says, I am crucified with Christ, we died with him so that he can live in us. Amen? Hallelujah. Death. And then life. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, but when Herod was what? Dead. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He's in Egypt with his mother. We're going to talk about that possibly during the Christmas time. We always talk about that particular point. When Herod was dead, the angel now spoke and says, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. Do you mean God couldn't have taken them back? Obviously, Herod had killed all the little babies in Bethlehem. He wasn't looking for Jesus anymore. Couldn't they have just gone? But the Lord is trying to drive a point home. Ideologies, systems, lifestyles, witches, whatever is standing in the way of you becoming who God says you're supposed to be, has to die. It is the law of the Spirit. It has to die. Why? Because when God brings you to your promised land, yes, you're going to have battles and all of that, but he has to bring you to the place where you are confident about the fact that he is with you and that you don't have anything that you cannot handle. The Bible says when Joshua, in Joshua 1, I think it's, yeah, 1. The Bible says that God speaks to Joshua and said, my servant Moses is dead. Arise, take them into the promised land. Is that not what it says? The problem many times is we do not recognize that death is necessary. So Paul says, in our dying, you are getting life. I have to die so that you can live. And those that are called to places of leadership die daily. They have to. If you want to see other people experience the life that God wants for them, you got to die daily to yourself. so that the promises of God may be fulfilled in you and through you. People want so much from God. More anointing, more power, more this. But you see, when people pray, "Lord, I need more anointing," what they really are praying is, "God, kill me." Because there's no more anointing but you becoming less you and he becoming more him. Remember the statement of John the Baptist. He says, "I must decrease and he must increase." We're talking about the changes God wants to bring into our lives. But have you considered that God may require you dying to yourself, to your pleasures, to your own desires, so that you can please him? It is part of the equation. Be willing to sacrifice so that others can experience the mercies of God. You know, you have your favorite parking spot. Nice and close. But if there were 300 more people, visitors, who've not been here before, are you willing to sacrifice your parking spot and walk a little bit longer so that somebody else can experience the convenience of being inside? Are you willing to say, "I know it's minus 30 outside there, but I should go out there and check out whether all the vehicles are safe. I'm willing to go out there and control the traffic. It's minus 40. I have my hoodie on. I'm freezing, but park over there. You over there. You. Over there, and I'm freezing." That's dying. I want to go in and sit down and have somebody serve me, take care of me. No, thank God I have the capacity and the ability. I am willing to die so that somebody else can live. Something has to die. It's not just something out there, it's something in here. My thinking, my self-centered, selfish desires, something has to die. What am I willing to do? When you come and you give your offering over and above what your tithe is, what do you think that is? That is dying. Oh, I would like to go to Heist Steak, you know, and chow down on a nice fillet, or, you know, I'd like to go to such and such a place. I'd like to go on this vacation. But you sacrifice it so that somebody else can live. You do it when you sacrifice for your children. So that they can live. And you thought, when they finish high school, maybe university, that'll be the end of it.
And you find out you still have to sacrifice. After that, those beautiful grandkids that run in your house and knock everything down, they come to stay with you. And you love it. Because you're going through the dying process so that they can live. In what area do you need to die? So that somebody's life can be changed. We are transformed and renewed in the spirit of our minds through the process of dying. Look at what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 12. It's explicit there. It says in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the statement, a living, throws us off. Because a sacrifice means death. So why is it living? It is living because your sacrifice is supposed to have a legacy of continuity in the lives of others as well as in yours. So, how is this going to take place? It says, be not conformed to this world. Stop thinking like the world thinks. But be renewed. Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed, be changed by your mind, your thinking changing. Why? That you may prove or bring to pass or manifest what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It doesn't happen without you being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Something has to die in your thinking. There's got to be a paradigm shift. Or like they say, if you keep on doing the same thing, expecting a different result, they say that's the perfect definition of insanity. No, something needs to change. That does not mean that you're not doing the right things. It just means there might be a need for a slight tweak. And there you are. May I say to us that every one of us are in the place that we ought to be, because the place we ought to be can be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be the place we want to be. Some people are running helter-skelter, going to all kinds of places looking for the green grass that is where they are. There's no green grass over there. The grass is only green where you water. You want green grass? Water where you are. Huh? And you have the green grass. You don't have to walk over there. I want an amazing church. The amazing church is not over there. It's where you are right now. You make it that amazing church because you die. You make it that incredible place because of what you are doing right now. It's not over there. Oh, I want a church with a nice, powerful women's ministry. You have one. Are you attending it? I want a church with a powerful, anointed men's ministry. Nehemiah's men. Are you attending it? Are you attending the Women of Excellence? We want a youth program. Are you willing to die and bring your children to the youth program? Are they going to get there? If you're not willing to sacrifice. People want all kinds of things, but are not willing to sacrifice to make it happen. If I'm speaking truth, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God that I'm in the right place. People want all kinds of things, but are not willing to invest for it to happen. Oh, I wish we had a good social media ministry going out. You have social media, you have Facebook, you have whatever it is that you have. But you never share. You don't subscribe to your ministry and share whatever it is that you're learning and growing other people. Say, oh, viewership is small. Guess what? If you don't share, who's going to share? Are they going to know? If you have ideas, you share those ideas. That's how things happen. There are all kinds of ministries in this house right this very moment. Everybody here has a particular calling, a particular gift God gave to them for change to take place. But they have to die to self, have the vision of God, and do what God is asking them to do. That's how change takes place. That's how increase takes place. That's how lives change. The early church, the Lord is dead. He's ascended into the heavens. The Spirit, you know, the Lord says, watch this. The Lord says, if I don't die and go away, you're not going to have the Holy Spirit. But when I go, I'm going to send a comforter who's going to be your helper, who's going to come alongside of you. He is going to remind you of things that I've told you. He's not going to preach himself. He's going to take what I have received of the Father and passed on to him, and he will pass it on to you. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to go. He had to die so that we can experience the fullness of life. Are we together so far? Change. Change takes place when something dies. Capitalize on that. Capitalize on that. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, I want verse 12, but before I get there, let me start from verse 6. It talks about the word of the gospel of truth. And it says, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth. In fact, before I go any further concerning this gospel of truth that he's talking about, let me look at 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll come back here. 1 Corinthians 15. What did I do with my passage? 1 Corinthians 15. This is what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the gospel. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died, rose again, was buried, rose again. He said, that's the gospel. Hallelujah. Now come with me to Colossians, back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. I'll take it off from verse 5 and 6. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and right here you see it, the core of the Word of God, things that God wants you to really truly receive, are those three things: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Paul, through the leading of the Spirit, puts all of it together in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with what? Knowledge of his will in all what? Wisdom. And what? Spiritual understanding. It's all there. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being what? Fruitful. Wait a minute, I thought it was faith. No, faith without corresponding action is dead, James tells us. The brother of the Lord Jesus Christ pens it down. You have faith and you don't have works, it's dead. And what is pleasing to God is our spiritual posture of thanksgiving unto God. We are expressing thanksgiving unto God for his faithfulness and workings in us and through us. And God says to us, he says to us in John 15, that if we are fruit-bearing branches in the vine, he comes and he prunes so that we become more fruitful. Yes? What happens to the part that he prunes? Does it stay alive or does it die? It dies. So that it can be more fruitful. When God comes into your life, there are places he's going to prune you. Stop complaining. There are places that have to die. Romans says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. I had a preacher once, a lady preacher. I was flipping through television. This got to be about 10, 12 years back. And I, the first things I heard from her is, God has murder on his mind. I said, what is he talking about? And then she says, you got to kill something. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Did you know, and we're going to explore this next Sunday, when God told Moses, go to the promised land, go set my people free. Do you know the first thing God did? God tried to kill Moses. It's in the Bible. I'll show it to you. God came after. Moses is supposed to go. How are you going to kill the messenger that you're sending? Oh, because something's got to die. Are we getting the point? Praise the Lord. Something got to die. Actually, I think this is the best title for this message tonight. Something's got to die. Change doesn't come without something dying. But when that thing dies, it better be working for your good. Because death, something dying can also mean problems. But that's not where we are tapping into. We're tapping into the goodness of God. So he says, let me continue. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being, present tense continuous, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How God does what God does. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm going to come to that again in just a moment. This partakers of the inheritance, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The word is metistemi. It means that God transported you supernaturally into the kingdom. Mama talked to us about the kingdom of God this morning. That transformation took place. Why and how? By the work of the blood of Jesus Christ when he died. So that we can be translated into his kingdom. In whom we have redemption, he says. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is what God is doing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, read these statements. He talks about you and I as the elect of God. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be what? Multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the death is not the end result. It's the life that comes after. I hope you're getting the point. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. An inheritance that's incorruptible, it is undefiled, it doesn't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There is a revelation that God wants to bring about. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to 2 Peter. Verse 2, 2 Peter, chapter 1. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath, someone say hath. Say it again, hath. That is not to be, that is what has already happened. According as his divine power hath or has given unto us all what? All things. He'd given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that had called us to what? To glory and virtue. Now, is that something that's going to happen or something that has already happened? He says, has. Yes? So it's already. So remember the statement I made to you earlier? That you're already where you're supposed to be. I'm already where I'm supposed to be. I am not going to be fruitful. I am fruitful. I'm not going to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm not going to be head. I am head. I'm not going to be above. I am above. Whatever God says you are already. When God said it, that's when you became it. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. He's called us through the knowledge of him, the knowing of who God is. And remember what Daniel says. The people that know their God, they are the ones that do exploits. So the growth that we desire is all in God. For all things are consisted in him. The knowledge of him that had called us to what? To glory. What does that mean? It means that God is no longer looking at me as a sinner. He's looking at me as a saint. For the wages of sin is death, Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen? We all fell short of the glory of God. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But now the word of God says God has called us to glory and called us to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It didn't just say, given unto us great promises, great and precious promises. It says exceeding great. So no matter how great you think it is, it exceeds it. So the exceeding factor is based on how I know God. Huh? If you think God is this much, he'll exceed that by that much. You think he's this much, he'll exceed it by that much. You think he's this much, he goes this much. You think he's this much, he goes that much. He will always exceed your wildest hopes, dreams, aspirations, desires. I have to see God from that perspective. When I see God from that perspective, guess what happened? I died to my limitations of God. I died from living my life based on natural laws, rules, and regulations. I am now thinking the way God thinks. That makes sense? So we've got to die. You see, you cannot know God without dying. Oh, you can't. You have to die to your ways. The Word of God says, God has given us these, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. You become partakers of divinity. Oh. How? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've mortified that. You've shut that down. And you are holding on to the faithfulness of God. Thinking has changed. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to the Lord and says, nobody can do these things except God is with him. The response of the Lord Jesus Christ is, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. What are you talking about? You mean I need to go back into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? Oh, no, this is a paradigm shift. This is something that's different. If you're going to experience this, you got to think differently. You cannot be thinking the way of the natural-minded, carnal-minded person, because the carnal-minded person is an enemy of God. He cannot receive the things of God. They are foolishness to him. But if you want to experience God the way I'm talking to you about, something else has to happen. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Got to enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit, but different. They're like the wind. You know where it's coming, where it's going. You know what God is saying to us? Listen, there comes a time, because you're born of the Spirit, that you're going to act like the wind. Have you seen it, the wind? You can only see what it's doing. You can feel it, but you cannot see it. And there's a dimension in the realm of the Spirit that you and I are going to have to move in, because we die to our natural mindset of matter. Matter. If the Lord Jesus Christ were here today, he will walk through that wall, because that natural does not override the spiritual. Are we together? So it's nothing. And he did it. Very intentionally. But here, let's go a little bit further. As I wrap. Verse 9 says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? What did he just say? He just said to Nicodemus, this is supposed to be your experience. And you're the teacher? And you don't know this? In essence, this should be elementary to you. What is it that God knows that I should know that I don't know because I did not die to the flesh, to the systems of the world, to the ideologies, to the philosophies, the psychological systems of this world? What is it exactly that God is saying about me and about you that we're not experiencing because we've not died to the natural, so that we are alive in the spirit? Verse 11 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know." Huh? We? What do you mean, we? Why aren't you saying, "I speak that which I do know"? What are you saying "we" about? Because God is counting you and counting me into that system of the people that know. By the language of faith, he's saying, "We know." Not just "I know," we know that this is the way it works, and testify that we have seen. May God open our eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit, so that we can activate the things of the Spirit. We speak what we have seen. What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying? He's saying, you know how I do those miracles? It's based on what I see. And he's going to tell us down the line, "I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing." He says, "And ye receive not our witness." Oh, look at this. It's okay. Verse 12. Wow. "I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Excuse me? What you just told the man, that's earthly things? I thought that was very spiritual. And God says, "You don't know the half of it." That's basically what he said. You don't even know. I gave you pablum, milk, and you think this is it. How are you going to handle meat? You know, some of the things I'm talking about tonight will drive some people crazy. They cannot handle it. What are you talking about? Where did you get that from? From the same Bible that you're reading. Are you going to believe when I tell you of heavenly things? Nice verse. "And no man," watch this, "no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Oh. What? "No man has ascended up to heaven." He's not gone to the cross yet. He said, "No man had ascended up to heaven." Okay. "But he that came down from heaven." Okay. Maybe I can undo that. "Even the Son of Man which is in," present tense, "in heaven." In essence, I'm here with you right now, but really I'm in heaven. Did I make that up? Is it there? It's right there. And then he tells us about Moses. Listen, I'm talking to you right now. I'm in heaven right now. But what does he say about you and I? It says about you and I that we are seated where? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So why do I right here at 1296 Main Street in Winnipeg, Manitoba? God says, you know what? You're there, but you're also here. Will you believe it? You have to die to the natural limitations of your so-called philosophy, so-called rational mind, and have the mind of Christ to be able to say, Lord, at the very worst, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. At the very minimum, Lord, I don't know how it works, but I believe you. Thank you for transformation in my life. I die to my natural ways of thinking to begin now to think like the resurrected, ascended Christ Jesus. Amen? Until that happens, there's no change. If you don't die, there's no change. You got to die to your ways for change to take place. Just as simple as that. If you receive that word, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's an honor and a privilege to share the word of God with you. And tonight, I thank God for his word to us. May our lives forever be changed because of it. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we die to our ways. We die to our own systems. We die to our own ideologies. Lord, change us so that we can prove that which is your good, acceptable and perfect will. Receive our measure of faith. The measure of faith that can be used to change everything. We apply to every area of our lives, to our bodies, for our health. We apply to God to our finances. We apply to God to our businesses and our careers, our ministry and calling, our families, our children, our parents, relatives. We apply the integrity of your word to everything that pertains to us. And we prophesy today by the authority of the word of the living God. Change, restoration, transformation, death to everything that challenges the integrity of your word, that we together today, by the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, our Lord, will walk even now in the blessing of that exceeding great and precious promise that you have established in us, causing us now to be partakers of your divine nature. Let the divine nature of the Most High be manifested in us and through us. And all of God's people together in agreement in Jesus' name said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Our giving is part of our sacrificial commitment to God, expressing thanksgiving to the one who has loved us. May God honor you, and may God multiply your seed sown for this household and for your household. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, let me say bye to those that are on YouTube and Facebook, and have a quick chat with those that are on Zoom. Hello, Sister Carol. Bless you.